This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
As the crescent moon graces the evening sky, marking the arrival of Ramadan, a sense of tranquility envelopes the Muslim world. This sacred month holds profound significance for millions, symbolizing a time of reflection, prayer, and spiritual purity. Ramadan is not merely a period of fasting, but a divine feast for the soul, inviting believers to purify their hearts and deepen their connection with God. In Iran, the arrival of Ramadan is a vibrant celebration, intricately woven into the cultural fabric of the country. As the new moon shines in the sky, people greet it with excitement, almost as if they're welcoming back an old friend they've dearly missed. The rituals and traditions of this sacred month bring a lively spirit to the atmosphere, igniting joy and a sense of community among families and friends alike.
At the heart of the Ramadan festival, mosques become sanctuaries of peace and spirituality. The air is filled with devotion as people gather in circles and recite the Holy Quran, sharing their faith in unity. The stirring sermons delivered by passionate clerics inspire the community to strive for personal growth and compassion. This sacred time invites everyone to reflect back on their lives and embrace the divine guidance that leads us towards becoming better human beings.
Reciting the Holy Quran during Ramadan holds profound significance for Muslims around the world, as it is believed to be the month in which the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. This period is not only a time for spiritual reflection and devotion, but also an opportunity for believers to deepen their understanding of the sacred text. Many strive to read the entire Quran throughout the month, often participating in communal prayers where extended recitations take place. The act of recitation is imbued with an atmosphere of reverence and devotion, encouraging Muslims to reflect on the Quran's teachings and to embody its principles in their daily lives. Hujjatul Islam Amir Abdi Muqaddam, the permanent representative of the leader's office at the University of Science and Technology. He also leads prayers at the Imam Jafar Sadiq Mosque in Tehran's bustling Mehrabad area.
Our local mosque, like so many others across the country, is dedicated to creating a welcoming atmosphere for the cherished rituals of Ramadan. In addition to conducting the five daily prayers, the prayer leader engages the community with lectures centered on Quranic teachings. We gather at the mosque about an hour and a half before iftar, sharing in the reading of the Quran, attending a brief lecture, and concluding with prayers. This ceremony occurs both in the morning and afternoon, with a strong emphasis on Quran recitation. As we well know, Ramadan is often referred to as the spring of the Quran, and we diligently focus on its recitation and the depth of its messages.
It was the first night of the holy month of Ramadan, and yet the Imam Jafar Sadiq Mosque in downtown Tehran was alive with fervent religious rituals, drawing crowds and creating a heartfelt atmosphere. Fasting begins with suhoor, the pre-dawn meal, where Muslims eat a nutritious breakfast before dawn to prepare for the day ahead. This meal often includes a mix of carbohydrates, proteins, and fluids, ensuring they have the energy and hydration needed for the hours without food or water. After suhoor, many Muslims perform the Fajr prayer, the first of the five daily prayers, which further sets a spiritual tone for the day and reinforces their commitment to faith. Throughout the day, Muslims continue with their daily routines, whether it's work, school, or household chores, all while refraining from eating and drinking from dawn until sunset. This experience often fosters a heightened sense of discipline, patience, and mindfulness as they focus on their responsibilities and avoid distractions. Many take this time to engage in additional acts of worship, such as reading the Quran, making dua or supplication, and reflecting on their lives. As the day progresses, anticipation for iftar builds, often with families and friends coming together to prepare meals.
Ramadan is a month of divine hospitality, a time when God invites us to reflect. What do we expect from such a sacred invitation? Is there anything that transcends love and spirituality? We observe this profound sense of connection in Muslim countries, including our own Iran, and in every mosque, including the one where we gather today. During Ramadan, we experience an elevated spirit of affection, kindness, and closeness. It's evident that people embrace a different mindset during this month, making a conscious effort to savor each moment of this sacred time.
We asked Mr. Abdi Muqaddam about the sermons delivered during this sacred month.
We aspire to guide our speeches towards deeper reflection and contemplation of the Quran. Many of the challenges humanity faces, whether on an individual, familial, or global scale, can find solutions through the wisdom of the Quran. By paying attention to its verses and acting in accordance with its teachings, we can truly pave the way for a better world. The Quran serves as a divine guidebook offered by God to help humanity navigate the journey of life with purpose and fulfillment. Thus, if we dedicate ourselves to the Quran, we can confidently anticipate positive transformations in our lives, whether personally, within our families, at a national level, or even globally.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
We have a lot more to cover today, but first let's take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here we'll go over some important news headlines. Tehran Times: Ramadan encourages nighttime tourism in Isfahan. Each year, the holy month of Ramadan not only brings spiritual significance, but also provides a unique opportunity for the growth of nighttime tourism. Ramadan in Iran's religious and historical cities is marked by unique traditions and customs that create a distinct appeal for tourists. For instance, Isfahan, with its remarkable landmarks such as Jame Mosque, Sheikh Lutfullah Mosque, Naqsh Jahan Square, Khaju Bridge, and historical neighborhoods, offers a perfect blend of spirituality, history, and cultural experiences. One of the most captivating aspects of Ramadan tourism in Isfahan is breaking the fast in historical settings. Many traditional restaurants and cafes offer special iftar and dinner menus, combining the essence of tradition with modern hospitality. In addition, historical houses like Khane Behradi, Shah Abbasi Caravansarais, and traditional tea houses along the Zayan Darud River become popular spots for iftar and late-night gatherings. Local delicacies such as halim, asha shol gharamkar, khoresht mas, gaz, and various traditional herbal teas gain even more popularity during Ramadan and can be promoted as unique attractions for international visitors. Mehr News. Leader: Quran teaches how to deal with world's arrogant powers. On the first day of the blessed month of Ramadan, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, met with a number of distinguished and international scholars and reciters of the Holy Quran during a gathering titled Communion with the Quran. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyye on March 2, 2025. During the meeting, Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized the individual and societal need for the curative teachings of the Quran. The Quranic community should act in such a way that the spiritual springs of the Book of God flow into the hearts, minds, and consequently, the behavior and actions of all the people, he stated. In explaining the individual needs for the divine book, he stated, the cure to all of the humanity's spiritual and moral ailments, such as envy, stinginess, cynicism, laziness, selfishness, hedonism, and the prioritization of the personal interest over the collective good, lies within the Quran. Ayatollah Khamenei described the Holy Quran as a clear and precise guide in the field of international relations, asserting that the Iranian nation has no issues with other nations. However, he noted that it currently faces a broad front of infidel or hypocritical arrogant powers. Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that the Holy Quran provides guidance on how to deal with such entities at different stages, indicating when to communicate, when to collaborate, when to respond forcefully, and when to take up arms. Irna, Araghchi offers congratulations on arrival of Holy Ramadan. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi extended his congratulations on the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan, expressing hope that the blessings of this month will pave the path for establishing Islamic unity and success for the Muslim world. In his message to Muslim counterparts and members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Araghchi said that the holy month of Ramadan is an opportunity to refocus on moral values within Muslim society, strengthen inner peace, and avoid misbehavior and evil. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please do stay tuned for the main narrative.
Iftar, the cherished evening meal that breaks the fast, transforms mosques into a warm, inviting home for all who gather. People from different backgrounds come together, sitting side by side, sharing a meal that transcends social class and status. In this beautiful moment, focus shifts from our differences to our shared love for God and one another, creating a sense of belonging and togetherness that uplifts the spirit.
We also spoke with Mrs. Elahe Sadeghian, an Iranian religious scholar who has been teaching the Holy Quran for over 23 years.
توی ماه مبارک رمضان انگار این ماه تو دلش
Ramadan is filled with small and big good things. For instance, family members make a regular effort to meet each other, striving to be together at the time of iftar, no matter where they are. The whole family embarks on a shared spiritual journey. Reading the Holy Quran and talking to God become routine during this month. Fasters try to read the Quran from beginning to end at least once throughout the month and review its teachings to better apply them in their lives. Ramadan is an opportunity for a fresh start, for creating positive and constructive habits.
During the month of Ramadan, offering iftar and engaging in charitable activities become deeply ingrained traditions that embody the spirit of compassion and generosity. Many Muslims take great joy in hosting iftar gatherings where they share meals with family, friends, and neighbors. This practice promotes a sense of togetherness and strengthens bonds within the community. Additionally, it's common for individuals and organizations to provide iftar meals to those in need, including the less fortunate and those who may not have family nearby. Mosques often organize communal iftars, inviting anyone in the community to join, thereby ensuring that no one breaks their fast alone.
The current economic situation in our country is challenging, and as you are aware, we are navigating an all-out economic struggle. Yet amidst these difficulties, the community has generously contributed funds to the mosque, ensuring that the iftar tablecloth remains a place of nourishment for all those who are fasting, just as it has in previous years. The traditional offerings at our mosque for iftar include tea, milk, biscuits, dates, bread, cheese, herbs, saffron pudding, and soup. The important point is women play a vital role in the preparation and organization of this communal meal.
In addition to giving iftar, Muslims are encouraged to donate a portion of their income or wealth during this month. The concepts of sadaqah and zakat, or voluntary and obligatory almsgiving, are also emphasized, as they serve as a means of supporting the needy and purifying wealth. Many choose to distribute food packages, clothing, or financial support to families in need, making a significant impact on their lives.
One of the prominent features of Ramadan is its positive impact on our lifestyle. Ramadan is an exceptional opportunity to draw closer to God, to attain the perfection of existence, which is the purpose of human creation. Ramadan is a great university of education. In this month, kindness and charity flourish among people. Those who fast become more considerate of the needy and help them more. Unity and empathy in society increase, guiding it towards a kind of utopia.
Various community initiatives flourish during Ramadan, including food drives, soup kitchens, and charity events. These activities not only provide essential support to those in need, but also encourage a spirit of volunteerism among community members. The involvement often transcends religious boundaries as individuals from diverse backgrounds come together for help, forging stronger intercommunity ties. On the second night of Ramadan, we joined a special event hosted by Tehran Municipality named the Third Diplomatic Ceremony of Planting the Tree of Peace and Friendship. This gathering brought together figures and diplomats from Muslim countries for a friendly iftar. There, we first met Mr. Hamid Reza Ghulamzadeh, the Deputy for International Affairs at Tehran Municipality, to learn about the initiatives that the municipality embraces during this holy month.
We are also having, like the last year, which was a great experience for us, we are going to have public iftar ceremonies. So it is very simple iftars to break fast at the evening, which is distributed for the public in some part of the city, in downtown of Tehran. And we are also having some special programs. The tree planting and iftar ceremony for the ambassadors and for the diplomatic corps in Tehran is one of the special events that the international department is responsible for.
Mr. Ghulamzadeh said the municipality of Tehran has launched a series of special charitable programs focus on supporting the needy during Ramadan, showcasing the community spirit of giving.
Since it is this time of the year, which is coinciding with Ramadan and New Year, is in winter time, and the cold weather is annoying, we can say. Part of the help for the people in need is focused on the warm houses and the shelters that the municipality provides for the people. So it is not just fixed places. We have actually established some portable ones, like cars and buses that have been turned into actually interim shelter places. In order to find people across the city. So my colleagues go across the city, especially during the nights and when the weather is very cold, to find those homeless people, if there is any, or people who are in need, to first of all save their lives. Then it is providing them with warm food and hot food, and then actually part of the activities which is regarding the month of Ramadan, like providing iftar and such ceremonies, it is provided for the people in need in particular as well. So they are going to benefit from such charities and such distribution of food and meals and such things in particular. We also have people who are not that much in need, who we can say are not that poor, but they are not very middle class or rich communities. For those people, municipality of Tehran is trying to provide them with services and, let's say, materials that are sold in a cheaper prices. So the markets, the chain stores that the municipality has, are trying to provide them with lower prices, some materials, which are usually particular to the month of Ramadan, based on our traditions and rituals. We're trying to provide them with a cheaper prices so that lower income families can also benefit from those things, and they can have also such things on their table actually during months of Ramadan.
The new moon's glow serves as a reminder of renewal and hope, urging individuals to set intentions and engage in acts of kindness. In this sacred time, the world becomes a canvas of love and understanding, illuminated by the shared journey of devotion and spiritual growth.
Among the notable figures at the ceremony was Dr. Saad Khan, president of the Echo Cultural Institute headquarters in Tehran. Our first question to him was whether Ramadan in Iran shares similarities with Ramadan in Pakistan.
In my opinion, because Iran and Pakistan are neighboring countries and we have very similar and overlapping culture and language and practices, so to a large extent, it's very close to each other the way Ramadan is celebrated in Pakistan with how it is celebrated in Iran. Because Ramadan becomes a family affair as much as it's a religious affair. And I think most of the people try to visit each other during the whole month of Ramadan. Every family, every household, if there are four or five brothers married and settled in different parts of the city, it's almost customary that everybody would invite other siblings and family members to his house for iftar once, and then it rotates in between the family members. In Ramadan, one of the other important things is charity to the poor. Because many of the people, even if they do charity during the remaining months, they are more generous during Ramadan because it is believed that doing the same act of charity during the holy month of Ramadan gives you a reward 70 times more than the other 11 months. And so most of the people go to orphanage or mosque or hospitals or centers of people with disability, physical disability like blindness, etc., and give a lot of money or food there.
The philosophy of fasting, particularly in the Islamic tradition, extends far beyond the physical act of abstaining from food and drink. While many people attempt to justify fasting by highlighting its numerous health benefits, such as improved metabolic health, detoxification, and mental clarity, the deeper significance lies in the spiritual and moral dimensions that it embodies.
In pre-Islamic religions, fasting was also emphasized significantly. The physical benefits of fasting are no longer a secret. Various scientists have confirmed the miraculous efforts of fasting on the body, from detoxifying and improving bodily metabolism and enhancing the sense of smell to its role in eliminating cancer cells and preventing diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. However, fasting also brings spiritual health. Abstaining from physical pleasures and focusing on moral virtues inevitably leads a person to a higher degree of perfection, which is one of the blessings of the holy month of Ramadan.
For Muslims, fasting during the month of Ramadan is fundamentally rooted in the concept of obedience to divine will. It is a divine commandment prescribed in the Quran, intended not just for personal growth, but as a means to cultivate a sense of community, empathy, and devotion to God. While the physical challenges of fasting may prompt some to draw moral lessons about resilience and suffering, the primary motivation remains the divine command, which is believed to lead to spiritual enlightenment, forgiveness of sins, and a greater alignment with divine purpose. Moreover, fasting during Ramadan is not just a personal spiritual practice. It serves as a profound unifying force among Muslims across the globe, particularly in Muslim-majority countries. As millions of Muslims embrace the discipline of fasting, they participate in a ritual that transcends geographical, cultural, and social boundaries.
I think, basically, even the concept of mosque or community prayers, which is very unique to Islam, because Islam is a religion of community, which means that Islam does not believe in isolation. Muslims meet each other at Friday prayers, at other prayers, at iftars, at Eid al-Fitr. So probably Islam developed the system of Islam or ritual practice that way. And that brings me to the importance of diplomacy, because when a president or a prime minister holds a diplomatic reception on the eve of Ramadan or Eid, or when ambassadors, we, invite each other for iftar, so that brings us closer, I think, because dinners we hold for each other, even other than Ramadan, but then we would be inviting everybody from every community or every religion. Ramadan is so specific because we know that the other ambassador, other head of organization who is sitting with me, breaking the fast, is a Muslim. So it actually foments and fosters a community feeling amongst the Muslims, because we are 2 billion people on this planet. And opportunities such as this make us feel part of a broader community.
The communal aspects of Ramadan, such as shared iftar meals, group prayers at mosques, and charitable giving, create a palpable sense of camaraderie and solidarity. In these moments, the concept of ummah, or community, is brought to life, highlighting the interconnectedness of all Muslims. This shared experience is a powerful reminder that they are part of a larger family that spans across continents, cultures, and languages. As the evening unfolded, Mr. Saad Khan emphasized the importance of highlighting the plight of Palestine during Ramadan, a month that serves as a reminder for fasting Muslims to remember and aid their brethren in need.
In the context of this Ramadan, I think we should always pray and take whatever diplomatic action is necessary for the protection of the people of Palestine. The reason is that after 16 months of brutal bombing, one-sided bombing, on the people of Palestine, there is a truce only for 42 days, and those 42 days have passed day before yesterday. And now we, the people of Palestine, are in a very dangerous zone. One, it's very cold, and most of their houses are destroyed. Most of their beddings have been burned. Two, it is Ramadan, and they have to start their fast and break their fast in the evening, Sahar and Iftar. Most of the people in open air. And there is still the danger of aggression by Israelis, which their prime minister says again and again in recent days that we will start it again. The danger is very real. And I think this Ramadan, everybody, while praying for himself or herself or for his own family and country and society, we should never forget the Palestinians, that may Allah grant them peace and protection from further aggression.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do join us again same times next week to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Seven barometric pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only King.
You are listening to the program Bookshelf on Iran Radio with Sheikh Yasir, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Bookshelf with me, Brother Yasir Ibrahim. First and foremost, we would like to congratulate the Muslim Ummah on the blessed month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts, the little that we do in this blessed month, and to make us benefit in this month the most that we can, inshallah. And one of those things that are highly recommended in this blessed month is a recital of certain du'as. And one of those du'as that is highly recommended, it can be said it is the most, or one of the most important du'as that should be recited in this blessed month, is a du'a known as du'a of Abu Hamza al-Thumali. It is a du'a that is highly recommended to be recited before the subh, i.e. before a person does sahri, before the adhan of fajr. And it is a very lengthy and beautiful du'a. It is a du'a that is narrated from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, the same Imam who we got the priceless gem of Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah from. And this is one of the other du'as by which the Imam alayhi salam has given to us as one of the most important gifts for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So the title of this book is God-Centered Spirituality, a commentary on Dua Abu Hamza Thumali. So obviously, as the title clearly says, it is a short and concise commentary and exposition on some of the key points within the Dua. So inshallah, please stay tuned for our next segment where we will be delving a bit deeper into this book. So please stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf. The book that we have introduced to our dear listeners in this particular episode was titled God-Centered Spirituality, a commentary on Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Now, first and foremost, we must mention that the Dua, yes, it is important for it to be recited at that particular time in the morning, i.e. before the Adhan of Fajr, before the call to pray for the morning prayer. However, it is also recommended to recite this dua on the nights of Qadr and during the nights of the blessed month of Ramadan. And as I mentioned, it is a very long and beautiful dua. But one of the advices given to us by the mystical teachers and by the great sages is that this dua itself doesn't necessarily have to be read in one sitting. It is possible that a person throughout the blessed month of Ramadan recites just one page, two pages, such that at the end of the month they are able to complete it once, just like the Quran al-Majid. And what is important about this dua, it contains things that are very specific to Ma'ad and death and the hereafter and so on and so forth. So anyway, this book was authored, or a collection of the speeches and then compiled, of Brother Jawad Shomali. It was published in 2023, and I'm assuming this is the publication house, or the name of the publication house that they used. It is called Firini for the Soul. It actually should be Firni for the Soul, but here, because of the English, it says Firini for the Soul. But anyway, so it's a nice title, it's a nice book. So this book is basically written into 19 chapters, dealing with a specific portion of the dua. And in that particular portion where the dua is being elaborated on, certain aspects of that dua are, you know, enlightened and explained a bit more for the audience, so that we as individuals, or those who wish to take more benefit from the dua, can do so. Like, what is this particular point in the dua making mention of? Where is it pointing to? What can we learn from it? Are there other teachings from other places where this appears? And so on and so forth. So for example, the first chapter is called Welcome to Dua Abu Hamza Thumali. What this is about, you know, obviously, it then speaks about a shortcut for growth. There's no shortcut for growth, but the dua itself, this being long, is one of the means by which a person will grow. There's no shortcut to growth. And so on and so forth. So this is the book that we would like to introduce to our dear listeners in this particular episode. And hopefully in our next segment, we'll be reading a portion for it for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned. Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf with me, Brother Yas Ibrahim. The book that we have introduced to our dear listeners was titled God-Centered Spirituality, A Commentary on Dua Abu Hamza Thumali, a dua that was narrated to us and gotten to us by the companion of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Abu Hamza Thumali. And obviously it is a dua from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. It is written by, or rather a compilation of, some of the speeches of Brother Jawad Shomali, and printed in the year 2023. So where we would like to read from is chapter 6, Migration Towards God. So as I mentioned, this particular book picks out certain parts of the dua and explains it. So in this part of the dua, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam gives good tidings that really fill one's heart with hope. Let's read the relevant section together. So this is a part from the dua. He who travels towards you will easily reach his destination. You do not conceal yourself from your creatures, unless their wishes stand between them and you. Imam alayhi salam says that the migration towards God is short, and as the destination is near. This is another line in this dua that differs from what you may previously have heard. So obviously understand that this is a lecture that he's giving to an audience, a Muslim audience, and maybe there are some, you know, individuals in the particular crowd who have been told that the distance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is long and lengthy and far and that it cannot be reached. This is where he's coming from at this angle. We are often told that the route to God is long and arduous, that it requires much action and involves surmounting many challenges. On the contrary, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says the way is actually very short. The key word in this phrase is migration. The path is short for those who migrate towards God. What does it mean to migrate towards God when he does not have a physical location? The answer is in another dua, normally recited in the month of Rajab, where we say, I have come to know that the highest quality of the one who migrates towards you is the strong will with which he chooses you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this blessed month of Ramadan, we are able to benefit from this beautiful dua, even if it's just its recital, as much as possible in this blessed month. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the true fasters in this blessed month. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bookshelf on Iran Radio with Sheikh Yasir, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has stalled Gaza ceasefire implementation while preparing to escalate the war, driven by political survival and supremacist policies. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, the Zionist regime has shifted its primary war tactic to collective punishment through starvation and restriction of basic necessities. After failing to achieve any of their military objectives, an embarrassed Israeli regime prime minister is prepared to expand the war once again to ensure his own political survival. The Gaza ceasefire agreement, prisoner exchange, was set to be implemented in three primary phases, the first of which has now met its deadline. While the Zionist regime was supposed to have begun negotiations on the implementation of Phase 2 some 2 weeks ago, it has instead dragged its feet and called for an extension to the first phase and the release of more prisoners instead. When the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agreed to the Gaza ceasefire deal, he did so while pledging to return to the war whenever he chose and to destroy the resistance movement Hamas. Although his former security minister Itamar Ben-Gvir decided to step down from his cabinet position, he did not choose to try and collapse Netanyahu's fragile coalition. However, the threat was issued by Ben-Gvir and his extremist ally, Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, that if the Zionist regime entered Phase 2, they would collapse the coalition. Why is phase two so important? This is when the war ends and Israel withdraws its armed forces from the Gaza Strip completely. Although the occupation army has pulled out from the Netzarim corridor that intersects north and central Gaza, it still remains in southern Rafah, some open areas near the separation fence and the Philadelphia corridor. The Zionist regime violated the ceasefire agreement around 15 minutes into its implementation with a string of civilian massacres, then continued to commit hundreds of violations of the deal every day since then. It has blocked the agreed-upon aid from entering the territory, including essential shelters like tents and caravans, also preventing the entry of medical professionals and transport of injured civilians to hospitals outside of Gaza. Due to these cruel measures that were taken without any justification, newborn babies have been dying from hypothermia as Israel continued to directly murder over 114 civilians through bombings and gunfire. If the Zionist regime was to actually follow through with its commitments and end the war, it would be able to receive the rest of its prisoners in exchange for transferring more Palestinian hostages. Yet, it appears as if Netanyahu's political survival is more important than the lives of his fellow Israelis. There are a range of issues that Tel Aviv now faces with the Gaza ceasefire. The most central is the failure to find an alternative rule to that of Hamas. However, Israeli and U.S. thinking on this matter has so far reflected the exact same racism that resulted in the crushing blow of the Hamas-led Al-Aqsa storm operation on October 7, 2023. They speak of imposing restrictions on humanitarian aid and leveraging reconstruction in order to apply pressure upon the people, assuming they have no agency. Both the U.S. and Israeli regime policymakers have made it clear that international law does not exist to them, that they operate by the law of the jungle to use their own vernacular, yet they still choose to opine on the alleged standards that ought to be upheld by the Palestinians and other global South populations. If they were to have actually viewed the Palestinians as human beings, which the Zionists and the Western establishment, whether in media or government, they could have worked on building an alternative to Hamas, but they refused to even give collaborators any space to work. Instead, they carry on with a level of supremacist thinking that enables a genocide to be carried out, believing that this will work to serve as a lesson to the Arab peoples not to mess with them, when in fact it only does very opposite. The Zionist regime, with the full support of its American and European allies, has carried out what amounts to one of the worst atrocities in human history, all of which has been broadcast around the world for everyone to see. Incapable of looking in the mirror, blinded by a sense of unhinged ethno-narcissism, the solution being proposed for Gaza is either an Arab-led international proxy force to be used in Gaza or its end to the extermination campaign that has been on temporary pause. It appeared for a short time period that the Palestinian Authority, PA, based in the West Bank, would perhaps play a role in the post-war Gaza scenario. Yet, it appears as if the Zionist-US alliance is considering scrapping the PA altogether after it failed to perform the task of eliminating the Jenin brigades through a 41-day siege on Jenin refugee camp. The US Trump administration has withdrawn funding from the PA's security forces in the West Bank, while Washington and Tel Aviv have imposed legislation aimed at dismantling the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA. These two above-mentioned steps appear to represent a clearer strategy going forward, The elimination of the PA would mean robbing Palestine of international representation at the UN, while destroying UNRWA would prevent there being an internationally recognized registry for Palestinian refugees. The answer to who rules the West Bank, which the Zionist regime plans to illegally annex, and the Gaza Strip, is potentially a foreign force that could work with some local elements in the occupied territories in order to serve as an Israeli proxy force. This appears to be the direction we are headed. However, as this idea's foundations rest upon the assumption that Palestinians are the equivalent of barn animals, it will fail dramatically. The Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has cut off all entry points for aid into Gaza, while asserting that he has ordered the Israeli regime army to prepare to summon 400,000 reservists. The blocking of aid instantly led to a spike in the prices of food inside Gaza during the holy month of Ramadan. Yet, the idea that Israel could mobilize 400,000 soldiers is borderline insane, as it could not even do this in the advent of October 7, 2023, let alone now. Assuming that this is the intention and that they could manage to do it, this large number of reservists would be way too much for a Gaza invasion, perhaps indicating they would be deployed to other fronts as well.
Mm-hmm.